Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Jackie Hoover. She's the chair, conference program committee chair for the Hawaii Energy Conference. And we've also got Michael Colon. He's a director over at Ulupono Initiative, and together they're both kind of co-organizers for the Hawaii Energy Conference. And I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining
me.
And Jackie's calling all the way from the Big Island, so thanks, Jackie and Michael for joining me today. Now, you know, the Hawaii Energy Conference has been kind of going on for a little while now, right? I mean, for about a dozen years. But before we get into the history of the conference, maybe Jackie and Michael, tell us a little bit about what you guys do and how you got involved with this conference. So we'll start with Jackie.
Okay, so I've been working in the energy arena for decades now. Besides being a consultant in energy, I had the privilege of being first an administrative engineer and ultimately executive director at the Natural Energy Laboratory of Hawaii Authority, NELHA on the Big Island. And the Energy Conference gives me an opportunity to stay engaged in the sector and to help my colleagues and others in the sector really advance our Hawaii energy presence.
And Jackie, from your
perspective, I currently serve as the Hawaii Island. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, and you know, on the Big Island, you've got every form of energy as a, you know, resource. But we can get into that, you know, a little later. So you kind of represent an island that has options.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, and Michael, what's the path that you took to get to get involved with the Hawaii Energy Conference?
Yeah, so thanks for having me. I've been in the space also pretty close to 20 years. I have been in a lot of different roles in energy. I've been on the state side working at the Public Utilities Commission as Commission Counsel. I've worked in the utility space with Hawaiian Electric, doing utility-scale procurement and electrification of transportation. And then I landed in my current role as Energy Director at Ulupono Initiative, where I've been for a couple of years. I've been a longtime attendee of the Energy Conference, but once I joined Ulupono, we're one of the sponsors of the conference, and so I had the opportunity to participate in the planning. So that's how I am joining in this capacity.
That's great. And I think, Jackie, you've been kind of involved with the conference for a bunch of those years. I mean, how have you seen it change over the course of the last dozen years?
So the conference actually started as the Maui Energy Conference, and it ran under that name from 2014 to 2018. Mm. But all throughout the history of the conference, we recognized that there was really focus on statewide energy interests. And in 2019, the name was changed to the Hawaii Energy Conference to expand the perspectives that this really is a statewide conference. It discusses energy initiatives, energy needs, energy solutions statewide. And it's continued to grow, and we're in our 12th year now, and I'm very privileged to serve as first co-chair and now committee chair for the last couple of years.
And Jackie, you know, the Hawaii Energy Conference,
I think,
has been kind of the signature conference, right? I mean, there have been some other conferences that try to tackle the energy space, but it looks like the Hawaii Energy Conference is kind of like the key annual conference to keep an eye on.
We believe that it actually is the preeminent energy conference for the state of Hawaii. We attract people from across the state as well as from mainland and other countries. So we do see that the conference is one that is very credible, is recognized as being important in the discussion, and is one that continues to grow. And we are making changes to the conference every year, including this year we're doing for the first time a deep dive, which is concurrent with what's happening on the main stage. We'll be talking about designing time of use rates for Hawaii that balance affordability, flexibility, and grid needs, amongst other things. And our panels this year, I think, really showcase our theme, which is to provide solutions to the energy needs of Hawaii and also serve as a model for other places, which is really important because our communities are really trying to navigate through a very changing environment with energy. And, you know, the panels will demonstrate, our discussions will demonstrate how important these discussions are to tackle energy efficiency, sustainability, alternatives, and other things such as, I mentioned, the affordability and flexibility of our grid.
And Jackie, what do you feel that those topics were not as emphasized in prior years?
I think the topics every year provide us context and encourage us to have bigger discussions, expand the discussions and the context of the discussions, expand to include new technologies, emerging technologies. But by offering solutions, which we think the Energy Conference does every year, but this year we actually are seeing we're offering solutions. One of the things that happens, Bert, is we engage in some really what I would describe as difficult and awkward conversations. There are often elephants in the room when it comes to discussing energy. And we tackle those, as you'll see when Michael discusses the panels that we have.
Well, you know, I think that would give us a good opportunity now to kind of maybe talk a little bit about some of the key initiatives and sort of the key points that you both want to get across as a result of being kind of on this planning committee, you know, for the Hawaii Energy Conference. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Jackie Hoover. She's the chair of the conference program committee. And, of course, this is for the Hawaii Energy Conference. And Michael Colon is a co-chair, but he's also the director of the energy sector over at Ulupono Initiative. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jackie Hoover. She's the chair of the Conference Program Committee for the Hawaii Energy Conference, and Michael Colon. He's a director over at the Ulupono Initiative and also co-chair along with Jackie Hoover. And right before the break, you know, Jackie, you were saying that there's a number of kind of deep dives into the topics of interest, you know, that really have an impact on Hawaii and our energy, sort of energy future. And I know, Michael, you've been pretty close to this at Ulupono. And now, you know, with your contribution to the planning committee, I mean, what do you see as some of the topics that would be of kind of critical interest in 2025?
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like the Hawaii Energy Conference does a good job of reflecting kind of the current issues and current topics of, you know, that the sector is facing. And a lot of thought goes into that and the design every year. And so, you know, this year, I would say, you know, energy space is always changing. However, this year in particular, lots of changes and very significant ones. And some of those issues are front and center, and some are building, and some are kind of yet to be seen, the full effects and full ramifications as, you know, policies are shifting underfoot day by day.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, you know, affordability, some of the things Jackie mentioned previously, affordability, community engagement, and some of the technologies are front and center and top of mind for folks in the space right now. Also, the loss of federal funding is going to have significant and really undetermined right now impacts on how things get done and how quickly we can achieve and pursue some of these goals. So, you know, plus there are some, you know, as Jackie mentioned, some difficult conversations and some elephants in the room that we will try to address and talk about, some of which are, you know, whether or not LNG makes sense, liquefied natural gas, as a replacement fuel for our current fossil fleet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're essentially, we are on track to achieve 100%. However, in that time frame, there's still going to be a certain amount of fossil fuels that are going to be burned. And so does it make sense to invest in infrastructure to swap that fuel source out? Or should we just really, really focus on renewables and trying to bring that on, and all of our emphasis and investments go that way? That's one of the conversations. The deep dive on time of use rates, which is a very, you know, complicated and kind of nuanced discussion about how you incentivize customers' behavior and what kind of incentives people can gain from, you know, drawing energy at certain times of the day or providing some energy if you have, you know, batteries or rooftop solar, providing energy to the grid and getting compensated for that. You know, how can we all work to support the grid and, you know, save money and be more efficient? Those are some of the main topics and questions. And then, you know, the panel that I'm covering is a discussion about nuclear. Kind of clearly a no-go subject in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
There's a constitutional prohibition on it unless you have a two-thirds vote of the legislature. And really what spurs this conversation is last year at the Energy Conference, the governor gave an address to the conference, and he indicated, you know, all options need to be back on the table. We want to address affordability, and so we really need to look at all technologies and all options except nuclear. And so, you know, in my mind, I thought, well, it was a great discussion as to why not nuclear. The technology has undergone some shifts. And, you know, for us, I feel like it's important for us to not be afraid to have these conversations. We're not going to be advocating for a certain outcome. You know, Ulupono is a renewable energy focused mission. So, you know, we don't have a stake in nuclear energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that we collectively are well-informed, understand pros and cons, because at the end of the day, there's so many trade-offs in all the different technologies, and they all present opportunities and challenges. And so the better informed we are collectively, the better we are at making decisions. And so that's really the emphasis and my thinking behind having a panel like that. And I think it's really great that the Energy Conference, the folks who are, you know, planning this are really supportive of having those kind of bold conversations.
And Michael, you mentioned that the impact of, you know, the Trump administration on some of the work that folks are doing in Hawaii on renewable energy, you know, will have an impact. Do you foresee any resources that Ulupono provides, you know, by way of reports or things that would help to benefit where investment might come in and perhaps find alternative sources of funding?
Yeah, we're constantly trying to, you know, be effective at Ulupono, and we're looking for ways to increase our impact, right? And that's kind of what we do is across our multiple sectors. And, you know, it's a shifting ground, so we're trying to kind of regroup and figure out where we can put our resources to be most impactful in this kind of changing environment. We have multiple sectors that I mentioned, one of which is transportation, which, you know, as it we increasingly electrify the transportation space, is closer and closer to energy conference, and there's conversations around that. Also, you know, the transportation space is one of the largest sectors for fossil fuel imports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be releasing information and more information about a study that we recently conducted. And one of the key takeaways to me, it's really astounding, is that 6% of the drivers in the state of Hawaii of light-duty vehicles like cars and trucks, 6% of all of the drivers consume 25% of all of the fossil fuel, the gasoline imported into the state. So 6% of drivers are using 25% of the gasoline. That's a significant impact. We call these people super users, and there's various reasons why they are super users, but we think this represents a significant impact and potential opportunity if we could work on focusing on those folks and maybe getting them into electric vehicles, for example. We could cut emissions significantly with a, you know, relatively small amount of people. So we're trying to figure out ways to identify impacts and maximize impacts, things like that, where you may not understand the full kind of context, but when we study it and take a deeper dive and look at it more deeply, we can understand there might be some leverage points where we can actually help people with outcomes, but also make a significant impact on the state.
How would you characterize the profile of some of that 6%?
So the study will, you know, that we'll be providing more information on and links to through our website, it shows that there are people who are, you know, drivers who drive super long commutes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks actually on Jackie's Island, on Hawaii Island, folks who have long commutes who work in delivery services or work in, you know, the rideshare, Uber, Lyft kind of jobs where they're doing a ton of driving. But there's also just people who have really large daily commutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for whatever reason, they are in high consuming vehicles, large vehicles with low gas mileage or low MPG. And so, you know, these types of people, not everyone can potentially convert to an electric vehicle. It's clearly not the case for everybody. But there may be an avenue there where we can really target some folks, improve their outcome, bring down their costs, because their costs to operate these vehicles are super high, and also reduce emissions impacts as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, you know, Jackie, you kind of hinted at a couple of elephants in the room, and I do want to give you a chance to talk about one of them, which I think is an opportunity on the Big Island in the form of geothermal. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Jackie Hoover and Michael Colon from the Hawaii Energy Conference. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jackie Hoover. She's the chair and of the conference program committee for the Hawaii Energy Conference, and Michael Colon is a co-chair for the program committee as well, and he's also a director for the energy sector over at Ulupono Initiative. And right before the break, you know, Michael was sharing a little bit about, you know, some of the kind of heavy users, fossil fuels, 6% kind of the drivers kind of contribute to 25% of the use of fossil fuels, and that's an interesting statistic. But, you know, and then the other thing that I wanted to give Jackie a chance to talk about, which is kind of like the another elephant in the room, which might be, I don't know, maybe a little controversial, but the, you know, the current administration, you know, they may be kind of down on some of the clean energy efforts, but Jackie, you were saying that the Trump administration is pretty supportive of things like geothermal. So how do you see proceeding, you know, in tackling that particular issue?
Well, as you and many in the audience probably know, Bert, we on Hawaii Island are very fortunate to have the largest portfolio of renewable energy mm-hmm. resources in the state, including geothermal, and the only currently operating geothermal facility in the state of Hawaii. But technologies have evolved, interest has evolved. There are new opportunities for expanding geothermal. And I believe that, you know, we are learning more about the technology and the opportunities, including opportunities to provide support and income for our indigenous population, our Native Hawaiians, by looking at what our cousins and neighbors in Aotearoa and New Zealand are doing, what our Maori cousins are doing. They're providing some models that are currently being considered as how do we customize as appropriate and applicable to Hawaii. So technologies evolve and perspectives evolve. Some of the other elephants in the room that I was referring to includes financing strategies. We have so many opportunities with startups and so forth, and you get that initial infusion of startup capital, but it's the sustaining, moving forward capital and financing that can be lost in the process. So part of what we're doing at the Energy Conference when we talk about offering solutions is we'll be talking about tackling some sustainable financing strategies, identifying some new strategies. And to Michael's point about all of the great work that Ulupōro and others are doing cross-sector, I think there's an opportunity that sometimes we forget to mention when we talk about the Hawaii Energy Conference, and that is the opportunity not just to network and learn from others, but also to look at opportunities for collaboration, for sharing mana'o with each other, and for leveraging and maximizing resources so that there's not a lot of redundancy, but more of a collective effort to identify what resources, what assets we have, and figure out how to leverage those so that we have bigger outcomes for everyone who's involved, including our community. So we want to seek more positive outcomes by leveraging and identifying those resources. And I really like the fact that the Hawaii Energy Conference has always been assets driven and based rather than deficits. So we talk about offering solutions, and we talk about those solutions based on what our community initiatives are and what assets we have. And there are many assets that Hawaii has to offer to the energy arena, not just locally, but literally internationally. And so I really hope that people are able to join us on May 21st and 22nd. The conference is being hosted at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center, affectionately known as the MAC. And for the 12th year is being presented by the Maui Economic Development Board in partnership with many others throughout the state and even some folks that are coming from offshore, and really a great opportunity. And, you know, Bert, we tend to think that we can only have these big conversations in big arenas and, you know, like the convention center and on Oahu and so forth. And what I'm finding is that oftentimes by moving these conferences and these discussions to places like the MAC, it really puts people in a different mind frame, and they're more able and willing to share multiple perspectives, because that's what really allows us to explore complex issues, is by making sure that we're listening to and learning from multiple perspectives and identifying where the lanes intersect and merge, not just siloing ourselves in our respective lanes.
Well, I would agree. And, you know, props to MEDB, the Maui Economic Development Board, for, you know, doing some of the sort of statewide conferences. It could be STEMWorks, or it could be the AMIS conference and the Hawaii Energy Conference. Now, Michael, you know, the objectives that, you know, that Jackie kind of referred to and the outcomes. I mean, who would you ideally like to attend the conference and be able to take the knowledge that's imparted and do something with it? I mean, is it local professionals in the energy business, or is it, you know, people from industry across the continent or international? I mean, who do you like to ideally attend the conference?
You know, I think Jackie's, you know, super modest and undersells the conference a little bit, because it really is the premier energy conference. She doesn't want to toot her own horn, but it really is. And so it does draw the, you know, expertise and interest from a really broad swath of folks. I think it's great to have folks from international and, of course, the continent. But, you know, ideally I would love to see local folks come. We are lucky in that we do have a pretty engaged community. Obviously, not everyone can attend a conference, but it's great that we have so many people who are passionate about energy and its connection to AINA and outcomes. And so, you know, I'm always happy when I see folks who are local, maybe first-time attendees to the conference, who are there to learn and listen and really ask questions. To me, that's great. And, you know, it's good for everybody. I learn stuff every time I go, and it's truly a really good opportunity for people in the industry to come and make connections, share, and collaborate as well.
No, that's great. And Jackie, so where can people find out more about the conference? And I think you've got maybe a little special offer, right?
Right. So people can go to online to HawaiiEnergyConference.com. And if you're interested in attending, you have a special code. It's BiteMarks, BYTEMARKS, the name of this program, BiteMarks, all capital. That will give you a 20% discount. Again, it's May 21st, 22nd. And truly, we include everyone. We have everyone, including tradesmen, electricians, linemen, etc. Well, so Jack, there's job training, job creation.
Jackie, mahalo. Yeah, no, mahalo. We'll get thanks for the discount code. Jackie Hoover is the chair of the Hawaii Energy Conference Program Committee. Michael Colon is the co-chair, and he's also director of the energy sector over at Ulupono Initiative. I want to thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about Purple Maia's Build for AINA Hackathon. Our engineer is Crystal Spear. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.